Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning. And we welcome in our friend Darren McFarlane, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network to the program. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, Robbie. How are we doing?
Wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Darren, we were talking about this earlier in the show. Tough loss for the Predators on Friday against Buffalo. They lose 4-3. Buffalo's been playing much better as of late, but I just didn't think there was a whole lot of push from the Predators the other night. What did you make of that game, and what have you made of the way that they've played really overall the last couple of weeks here?
What did I make of that game? What I've been trying to figure out is the final five road games, what ceremony they're going to have, because that seems to be
the
theme for the Predators, you know, honoring Rick Jeanneret, who's been calling Sabres hockey since 1842. So, well-deserved. Five decades, over five decades as being their voice. It's amazing. And you just, you know, it's like – I get it. It's a ceremony, and you're like, yeah, but then that goes away, and then you play the game, and it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, are they really? They'd sold out the barn first time at KeyBank Center in a couple of years. They that was their season, and I'm like, oh, great. You know, they're going to do it for Rick Jeanneret. You know, they're into this, and it's not the first time. So I was just sitting here going, let's see, what's Ottawa? Oh, boy, their owner just passed away. Well, there'll be a ceremony on Thursday for sure for that. Pittsburgh, Tampa, Colorado, and Arizona. I've been trying to figure out what ceremonies will they have for those road games when the Predators arrive. They just, you know, the other part of this, Robbie, is they just haven't gotten off to good starts. Like, they've given up the first goal six games in a row. They're digging themselves holes, and, you know, a lot of times they climb out of it. But, I mean, they were damn lucky. It was 3-3 after, you know, after 20 minutes on Friday. You know, like I said, they can dig themselves out of it, but do you always want to be digging yourself out of holes? My guess is no, you don't. Like, it would be nice to play with a lead and in control and dictating the pace and dictating, imposing your will on them rather than sometimes when you're behind, then you got to start doing things a little bit differently. So, you know, better starts is got to be the theme. And look, I know no team ever gets in there and go, you know, bad starts on three, ready, break. I mean, nobody ever says, hey, let's get behind and let's try to catch up. But you can talk about it and, you know, but you got to get out there and you got to do something about it. And I understand they've got their way they're going about, they're doing things. And this is game 69 on the season tomorrow night. And, oh, by the way, teams scout you, so they understand what you're trying to do, but they've got to get off to better starts. This is the final push, and they got the fourth hardest schedule the rest of the way. It does not – this past week, which, you know, they got 4 of 6, those were non-playoff teams. There are very few non-playoff teams the rest of the way.
Yeah, maybe Crosby will announce that this is actually his farewell tour before the weekend.
Maybe, you know,
so. And really get him riled up in Pittsburgh. So, Darren, yeah, I agree. The slow starts, it's become a consistent thing. If there's an individual right now you're most concerned with slash most needs to get it going here as this schedule really intensifies, who would that be?
Who most – let's see, a person that you'd like to see get going. Well, I mean, there's nothing to say about the usual suspects that we've talked about for the last 2 years. So we know we can cross those names off the list. Roman Josi, we don't need to bring him up. Michael McCarron, you know, let's bring him. No, he's actually playing really well. 3 goals in the last 2 games. I think the answer really is what, unfortunately, Joe, the boring answer is just the second line has got to get things going. I mean, you know, Cunnan and Tolvanen. Tolvanen was brought in here to score. And I know they like everything else that he's doing, but he was brought in here to score goals. And they need more goals out of him. Cunnan, his production's got to be better. I actually like – and Tomasino's down on the fourth line. I actually like what he's doing. So, you know, I guess if you're going to pinpoint something, it would be him. But really, you know – scoring, really, I don't think it's been that big of an issue other than when they've dug themselves in a deep hole especially on some of these road games that they haven't been able to climb out of. And that's, but other than that, I mean, this team has been able to score, Joe. I think it's cleaning up other things. This team has been pretty sloppy with the puck the last couple of weeks, which has also led to some of their losses. I mean, and really, and we've talked about this all year, guys, you know, their style when it's going, right, when they're forechecking, when they're doing what they do best, they're a really, really difficult out. But that's also hard to duplicate for 82 games. And I know nobody wants to hear that, but it just is. Think about it. You know, just trying to do the same thing. I mean, we all try to do the same thing on our shows, right? Every single day, 5 days a week for 4 hours a day. Like, bring the energy, bring the passion. That's all great, and that's awesome, and that's what we all strive to do, and that looks fantastic on paper. But is it easy to do 5 days a week for an entire calendar year? You know, if we're being honest with ourselves, right? Like, I'd love to admit the same drive, the same passion, feel the same way every single day throughout the calendar year. Well, that's not really the way human beings work, is it? I mean, like, there's just shows I'm sure you guys are like, well, okay, we'll get them tomorrow, right?
Sure.
We'll just go get them tomorrow. Like, okay, we'll be better tomorrow. You don't think that you don't think that happens? And I knew Joe was going to have a line. That doesn't happen in professional sports. Where these athletes are just like, man, I just don't have it tonight, you know. And, you know, it happens. And like I said, nobody wants to hear that, but it happens. And they're going to have to try to fix that in these final 14 games because, oh, by the way, anybody looked at the standings? Nobody's going away.
Oh, yeah.
No one's going away. And one day you're in the playoffs, and if you're not careful, a couple of days later, you're out of the playoffs. How tight are in the West?
Darren McFarland from Darren Donica Chase on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Darren, to that point, you got Edmonton that continues to win games. Vegas has now tied the Predators in points, albeit they've played three more games than the Predators have at this point. And Dallas, they dropped a tough one last night to Seattle 4-1, but they're 1 point behind you. So what do you make of this race in the Western Conference? And as you're looking at really those four teams, I don't know if I'm quite ready to put Winnipeg in the mix yet, but those four teams with Edmonton, Nashville, Vegas, and Dallas, who do you feel, I guess, the best about if you're the Predators holding off at that point?
Well, you mentioned it. You know, the games in hand will help Nashville and Dallas because they've got three games in hand on Vegas, and so that certainly will play a factor. Now, you have to make the most of that and do something with that, but you're right. Vegas, I believe, has played the most in the Western Conference, or they've tied for playing the most in the Western Conference, so that will not serve them well. I think I don't know, Robbie. I don't know if anyone's going to go away. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, and I think I said it last week with you guys. I just kind of feel like this thing is going to come down to the final week of the season. And, oh, by the way, that final week of the season is four games for the Predators, two at home and two on the road. Minnesota here, Colorado here, Colorado on the road, Arizona to close out the season. Boy, it looks like Colorado has nothing to play for, and I think that's going to probably hold true, and that would be nice, right? Because there's probably a real shot Colorado maybe sits some players down for that, because when you need W's and you need points, two games against actually, it's Calgary. I said Colorado twice. Calgary, I'm losing my mind. Calgary here, Minnesota and Calgary here, Colorado and Arizona. That's not exactly you know, non-playoff teams. There's one non-playoff team in there. So I just think it's going to come down to the final week, and we'll see how it all plays out. But you hope that Colorado can sit, you know, that second-to-last game of the season. They're like, yep, nothing to see here. Wrapped up the one seed. So, hey, all you Stars, you take a seat. You don't play. Maybe that happens. That would be nice. Calgary, I don't think they're going to be able to run away with this, right? I guess the Pacific is going to stay pretty bundled up, and unless Calgary gets on a roll. Like, by the way, Minnesota, they got to play two more games against Minnesota. Minnesota's 9-0-1 in their last 10. Ever since they've made that trade for Fleury, they've been playing some pretty darn good hockey. And, oh, by the way, they can score at will. So I just think this is going to be tight all the way to the end. I think it's going to come down to the final week, and hey, That's fun, isn't it? And sometimes that's a good thing. We talk about this in football all the time. Is it the right thing to do to take like the last week off or the last 2 weeks off and then have a bye week? You know, we've seen how many times have we seen teams get burned by this? Sometimes it's best just to have that playoff mentality going into the playoffs if you get in, right? You're playing hard all the way to the end, and then it just you just keep going. And then sometimes when teams take their foot off the gas and they kind of coast to the finish line because they can and they've earned that right, then it's kind of hard to, like, get things going again, right, in the playoffs. We've seen it, you know, burn some teams in the past. So maybe it's not a bad thing to be in this mode the rest of the way, because they're going to be. The rest of this month, they're going to have to be in playoff mode, and they're going to have to play like they are in the playoffs. And I don't know if that's a bad thing.
Joe, you got Darren, one more? There you go.
Yeah, sorry. Your thoughts on the Final Four on UNC Duke, Darren? I just wanted to I was blown away by how it actually lived up to the hype, which so often doesn't happen. What did you think of that? And do you agree with me that North Carolina has now ended the rivalry and Duke should be relegated to the SoCon from here?
By the way, that was kind of along the same – not kind of. It was along the same lines that I tweeted out Saturday night. Like, how many times does the hyped game actually live up to the hype, right? And it did. I even said, I hope this game goes to overtime, and I'm not rooting for anyone. I just want more of this. This is good. Mm-hmm. And by the way, how about Kansas just dominating UConn, which kind of surprised me, or Villanova, excuse me, a little bit. That, I mean, I know Justin Moore was a big loss, but wow. I mean, Kansas was start to finish, they were just the better team. Yeah, I thought it was great Saturday night. Like you said, the Duke-North Carolina game lived up to everything and more. It was an awesome, awesome game. Now it sets up for Kansas-North Carolina. I kind of get the feeling that the sexy pick for everybody is going to be North Carolina, but I'm going to go Kansas on this one. I'm going to say Kansas cuts down the nets tonight.
I'm with you. So that's probably bad news for Kansas at that point.
Oh, okay. I figured everybody would be on this North Carolina train. And I thought Kansas would be, you know, maybe the pick that, you know, even though I get it, they're the high seed, but, you know, everybody's feeling North Carolina. Joe, where are you on this? Who's winning?
Yeah, I think Kansas, but I think this is a rare opportunity for the entire college basketball country to root for North Carolina in a game, which, I mean, that doesn't happen too often, but like the whole weekend of rooting against Kay and now rooting against Bill Self. But I don't know, maybe they won't. I don't know. But I think Kansas is better.
Yeah.
3-for-3 on Kansas.
I think there's a lot of people will be rooting against Kansas because of their head coach. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can catch him every weekday from 10 to 2 on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Guys, enjoyed it as always.
Absolutely. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What's your concern level with the Preds and the way that they've played the last couple of weeks? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most Insta-worthy moments. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezvic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, you heard it there in the last segment from Darren. Preds have been getting off to some bad starts as of late. They've had the first goal scored against them 6 games in a row. They had to dig themselves out of a hole yet again against Buffalo the other night. They got down 3-1 in the first period in that game and then fought to tie that game back up at 3-1 in a game where Buffalo really deserved to be up by probably a few goals after that first period. And then really after that, the Predators just couldn't generate much offensively. They had a couple of good looks toward the end of regulation there in Buffalo, but Buffalo did a good job of kind of shutting things down from the net front out. What's your concern level at this point based on the fact the Predators did win 2 of 3 last week? They got 4 out of 6 points, but with the way that they're playing as of late, which we've heard John Hines talk about as well, how concerned are you, Joe Rexrode, about what you've seen from the Preds these last couple of weeks?
I'd say pretty concerned. They're not playing their best. The concern level is also just the situation. They are right now, I know it was what, Money Puck? Mid-90s playoff likelihood, and now it's 83%, which, does that mean anything? Not really. But it's a reflection that it's not going to be easy. That they are now in a battle with Vegas, with Dallas. I mean, look, they could still pass St. Louis ahead of them and actually end up playing Minnesota, you know, in the first round, tomorrow's opponent. But they also could be in for a real battle just to get into the playoffs. So not playing their best. It's gotten very tight in the standings. And although I agree with April earlier in the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, that Saros was not like the story of the other night. I mean, he was under siege and he was good, but he hasn't been great of late.
Correct.
And that's over a pretty extended period of time. Of course, those numbers always, yes, you can say, the giveaways in the D zone and some of the coverage issues and the injuries with the D core, all that stuff are factors, but I think it's fair to say he is not great right now. And I don't think this team is any kind of threat to do anything in the playoffs. And maybe isn't even a playoff team if he isn't pretty close to great. That's kind of a prerequisite for this team going into the year. Some things are better than we thought they would be, but UC Saros being really on top of his game and being one of the best goalies in the league is something that I think this team has to have.
I think so too. And it's amazing to kind of think about, you know, obviously Roman Josi, even though he's not had a point in the last two games, I mean, he's having an exceptional year. The Athletic just came out with a piece that Pierre LeBrun put together that basically polled all 32 coaches in the league and asked who their Norris Trophy winner would be, and Josi won. And he's having an incredible year. You know, obviously Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene have been awesome all year long. Duchene, with a couple assists the other night, now has 70 points on the year. So you've got a player reaching 80 points, a player reaching 70 points, and Philip Forsberg is closing in on 70 points as well. You've got all these things going right. I think you feel pretty good about three of your four lines right now. Like, I still think Johansson's line with Forsberg and Duchene, they're going to need to crank it up another notch, 5-on-5, as they move forward here. But you feel good about the Hurd line. You feel good about the fourth line right now. I mean, McCarron is scoring goals on a nightly basis, and Cousins and Tomasino are playing well. That second line is the one where it's just not going well right now. Like, Mikael Granlund is trying to, you know, to drag some people along with him, but Tolvanen and Cunnan have just not been good enough this year. I think Darren put it well in the last segment. Like, I get that Tolvanen is doing some things away from the puck that you like, and you can bury yourself into defensive analytics, and he's pretty good in that area. There's a lot of things that you like, but like, those two guys have not been good enough offensively. But having said that, like, you've got all these things going right for you if you're the Predators and you're in the wild card spot right now. Like, what happens if somebody starts to cool off? Like, what could that mean for this group as they move forward here? That's my concern as you look at it right now. And I agree, like, there's a lot of different things you can point to why Saros' numbers since the All-Star break haven't been as good. And all of them have merit. Injuries are part of it. You know, flip-flopping defensive combinations around are part of it. There have been some awful turnovers as of late. There's a lot of things that can happen. But he is not playing at the same level that he was for most of the season. And if he's not doing that, that's tough for this Predators team. Like, they need UC Saros to be superhuman UC Saros. And when he is, he covers up a lot of mistakes for this group. And right now, he's not covering those up quite as often as he had earlier this season.
Yeah, and the schedule gets very grueling in terms of both just frequency of games and opponent. So John Hines told us last time we had him on, they really talked about sitting him down in a non-obvious situation. He campaigned to play. He played well. But do you think about maybe mixing in a little bit more rest than you might have done, a little bit beyond just the back-to-backs here down the stretch? I mean, that's risky because you know, win these games and he's your ticket to that. But you also, maybe he could benefit from more rest. And obviously, if you know you're getting to the playoffs, you probably do that for sure, but you don't know. And it may come down to UC Soros, you know, having to get back to that top level to get in.
Wayne on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, these two things I know. One, the Preds will not make the playoffs. Number two, Forsberg will not re-sign with the Preds. And for a bonus, number three, Poyle and Hines will be gone at the end of the season. It's coming from Wayne on the text line.
Well, Wayne, I think that your first thing is certainly possible. I think that your second thing is certainly possible. And I think that your third thing is absolutely not going to happen.
Correct. It's possible they don't make the playoffs. Although it's still, if you go by the odds, still likely that they do. It's possible that Philip Forsberg doesn't resign, even though if you go by my internal odds, I think that that's unlikely as well. I think he will resign. But the Poyle and Hines thing, like, there's no chance.
I mean, think about where things were as of early last year with Poyle. I mean, if Poyle's not in jeopardy as of, 14 months ago, and now look at what has happened since then, he's not. And Hines is, if you can't see that Hines has done really good things as the coach here, I don't know what I can do for you. Hines should be in zero trouble.
Correct, which I believe he is in zero trouble. SL from Knoxville texting in says, is it just me that I'm weirded out that I'm worried about not making the playoffs, but not because of Duchesne whiffing or Forsberg being hurt? That's coming from SL in Knoxville. A little bit of a change of pace why SL is not worried about not making the playoffs. Guess so.
Got different reasons to be worried.
Well, that was now the new greatest of all time, Joe Rexrode Robo Joe.
That was absolutely incredible.
The new GOAT of Robo Joe's right there.
and they always have when I say amazing things.
I know. It's unbelievable. Just the timing that you bring to the table.
That was my best piece of hockey analysis ever, and it's lost forever. And what did I do? Just say, nah.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, Joe, it seriously was like that. It was very long.
It was awesome. Let's go back to the text line. I got a text that says, do y'all think that Poyle will end up trading Soros when Askarov is NHL ready, or is it just too soon to even make an assumption? I believe it is too soon. Which, by the way, it looks like there is some developments on that front. It's being reported out there a couple of different places that Askarov could be heading over here next season. So looks like he could be coming to North America, and I would assume at that point he'll be the goalie for Milwaukee. Connor ain't going to be the backup goalie here. That's my guess.
That all makes sense. And at some point, you have an Askarov Soros, competition / decision. Probably there's going to be some time when they're the two goalies here. That's a good problem to have. You keep your good goalies.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John from Columbia texting in says, Predators are choking just like the Titans choke. It's coming from John in Columbia. John, very upset Middle Tennessee sports fan right now. I mean, they still have an 83% chance to make the playoffs, so I'd hold off on the choking stuff for now.
I mean, the Titans did get the number one seed. Now, I'm not going to argue with that word as it applies to their playoff performance.
Oh, they choked.
But yes. But this would be different, of course, if the Preds don't even get to the playoffs as compared to a team that got the number one seed in the AFC.
Correct. So there's still some time. There's a lot of hockey to be played coming down the stretch here in the regular season. We talked about this with Darren. The standings are pretty nuts right now. Vegas has tied you in points with 82, so you got three games in hand on Vegas. Dallas lost to Seattle last night, so that's a tough one for the Stars. They've now drawn even with you in games played. So 68 games played for the Preds, 68 games played for Dallas, and they're 1 point behind you. So, you know, Winnipeg's hanging around at 76 points with 70 games played, but I don't know. I'm not quite willing to throw Winnipeg really in this race yet. Same thing with Vancouver.
That'd be a stunner if they actually got back into it.
It would. So
a lot,
I don't,
a lot of work ahead.
I don't think that's going to happen. And also, like, you look ahead if you're the Predators. We talked, you know, all week last week about how big this Minnesota game is going to be. And Minnesota just keeps on winning. Right now they're 9 points ahead of the Predators. So you'd probably be hard-pressed to catch them. Now you do have two more games head-to-head with them. And if you win both of those in regulation, it goes from 9 to 5. And then that becomes a little bit more realistic, catching Minnesota. But they're 9-0-1 their last 10. They're playing awfully well right now. It seems unlikely that the Predators would catch them at this point.
Right. It would be a huge win to beat them. And now what you could catch St. Louis.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you do that, then you match up with Minnesota in the first round. So these games are also potentially important in terms of, you know, seeing what could be a playoff opponent. But if that's the case, that means the Preds are going to play awfully well down the stretch for them to get out of the wild card situation and pass the Blues. That is certainly possible, though.
Joe, we brought this up earlier in the show. A.J. Brown's name continues to be tossed out there as it pertains to the New York Jets and trade rumors, and the latest coming from Rich Cimini, yet again from ESPN, putting a blog post up on ESPN.com, just talking about the Jets and their pursuit for a star receiver. And A.J. Brown's name is in this. DK Metcalf is in this as well. And in the article, it says, quote, "It takes two to tango, and the Seahawks are telling teams that Metcalf isn't available," a source said. "Brown is the name to watch, as mentioned 2 weeks ago, because of the Titans' tight cap situation." So there's nothing in this piece from Rich Cimini that says anything about the Titans and sources he has with them, or A.J. Brown's camp saying that he wants to be traded, or that the Titans are not willing to sign into a contract. There's none of that in this. It's just basically, hey, the Jets would kind of like to have somebody like A.J. Brown or DK Metcalf, which I don't really think is breaking news at this point. What do you make of this piece on ESPN.com, and what do you make of A.J. Brown's name kind of continuing to be thrown out there in trade rumors, which apparently, if you read into his tweets, he's taken notice of as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the news here is that the Jets are interested and haven't been told absolutely there's no chance, as apparently Seattle apparently is kind of putting it out there that they're just not interested in doing this. So I think Corey Curtis put it well. It's kind of like the Jets wishing this into reality, you know. But there's no indication that the Titans are actually interested in any way. Again, if I were John Robinson, I'd take all calls. And if you want to talk about just something stupid for A.J. Brown, then let's talk. But short of something just ridiculous, I don't think the Titans would ever even let this get to, you know, any level of serious discussion. I can't imagine.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense to me, right? I mean, he's 24 years old. I get it. You know, there's a big decision you've got coming up to how much money you're going to have to pay him, and wide receivers are making money left and right this offseason. I understand all that. So he's not going to be cheap. A.J. Brown's going to cost you a lot of money as you move forward here. But he's, I think, just now starting to figure out what he could really be in this league. Like, I think he's going to be a really good player for a really long time in this league. And we've talked about this 100 times, Joe. Wide receivers like A.J. Brown don't just walk through your door all the time. That's been a big problem for the Titans to try to find somebody like A.J. Brown. Like, to me, unless you're just so far off that there's no way that you can come to a deal, which I don't know how you would possibly be to that point right now based on where it stands in his negotiations. Like, I'm not even really entertaining this if I'm the Titans. Sure, like, I guess if the Jets wanted to offer you 3 first-round picks and 2 seconds for A.J. Brown, then maybe you start to think about it a little bit. But to me, it just doesn't make any sense for the Titans to really go down this road. And look, there's been no indication that they really are going down this road. It's just A.J. Brown's name continues to be tossed out there.
Okay, now if they're offering three firsts and 2 seconds,
I'll start to listen.
Okay, I'll return the call. Yeah, I'm not gonna wait and like make you wait. Like I'll call you right back.
And it is the Jets, so I'm not gonna totally remove that in terms of possibility.
That is true. That is true. Yeah, look, that's the thing. I mean, that would not be the offering price. If it was, any team would listen. But even if that's the case, you could have those 5 picks and still not get a football player as good as A.J. Brown. So you find someone like this, you want to keep him. And, you know, I look on the Titans side of the table, you can point to production, which is not elite at this point. You can point to injuries, which have been fairly common through 3 seasons in the NFL, especially the last 2 seasons. And those should have some level of price control for you. But on the AJ side, it's like, well, look at his reaction with the ridiculous Christian Kirk contract.
Yeah.
If he's making that much, then how are you not making 25 a year, right? And I think that's probably about where this lands. That'd be my guess, somewhere in the 23 to 25 range, something like that. And I think that's fair for both sides. By the end of that deal, if everything goes well for AJ Brown, he may look around and say, man, I'm underpaid in this league. But at this point, I think that's fair. And I think for the Titans' purposes, it makes sense to try to get this done sooner than later. Because obviously, if he has the monster breakout season this year, then that price tag could go up.
Well, as Corey pointed out earlier, like it does feel like the lower 20s in terms of the cap hit for this position has started to be forgotten about. Like we've talked about Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill, and they're closing on $30 million a year. Like it kind of feels like we've left the $21-22 million a year discussion behind at this point. Like to your point, like his production isn't elite. He's a really, really good player. He hadn't had 1,100 yards yet in a season. Now he's 24 as well, and he's going to get there one day, and he's going to be a really, really good player for a long time. But I'm just interested, how do you kind of forecast, if you're J-Rob and the Titans, what the right number is when he hasn't had a season like a Tyreek Hill or a Devontae Adams at this point?
Yeah, and if I'm on AJ's side of the table, I'm also saying, well, put me in some of these different offenses, and I bet you I'd have more numbers. So you guys have to understand what I am as a player.
Yep.
And they do, by the way. And for any of us who have watched him through his career, I think you'd be way off if you didn't think that he is the player, is that level of player.
Yep.
Production still is what it comes down to, though, and availability. I think he's been very available considering the injuries. He hasn't missed many games, but they have been. I mean, he's had a few and different types of injuries, too. So it just seems like that sweet spot is about right. He shouldn't be getting paid Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams money right now. Now, again, by the end of this deal, they do a 4-year deal. It may turn out that he's kind of getting, you know, the cap keeps going up. The salaries keep getting out of control. He ranks like 20th in the league in receiver, you know, annual pay. And hey, that's tough. But I think that at this point, that's fair. I really do.
How many more pieces do we think Rich Samini is going to come out with from AJ Brown? Is it going to be like a weekly thing now? AJ Brown trade rumors?
I mean, hey, the Jets are really trying here, man. They had Tyreek Hill. He was sitting there, you know, you had Dolphins, Jets. I think I'll take my talents to South Beach. I give them credit for persisting. Look, you know, somebody's a guy who's been covering them for a long time.
Yeah.
So, that's good reporting from their perspective. But there's no indication that there's any actual interest from the Titans in this.
Well, Devontae Parker gets traded over the weekend as well. He stays in the division. It's just not to the Jets, to the Patriots. So there's all sorts of wide receiver movement. It's just not much with the Jets at this point. Because why wouldn't you want to go play for them?
Well, Corey Davis looking for a Robin, you know. reunite Corey and AJ.
Yeah, maybe that's the goal. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, coming up here in about 5 minutes for a special announcement. Looking forward to that, to get the former constable. Look, does that nickname still apply at this point? The constable? The suit? Guy's got so many nicknames.
I like the constable a lot. I haven't heard that in a while. But he is a suit. Let's make it clear.
There's no question about that.
How about karaoke master?
I hear he's pretty good at karaoke. Chase got a lot of things.
Did you see him in action?
Oh, I've seen Chase in action many times.
I've seen Chase in action as well.
Oh, yeah.
Singing what?
I think he sang Garth Brooks the time I saw him. He's kind of run the gamut, though. He can do whatever you want.
Him and Caroline Fenton, great duo for Call and Bat and Rouge, whatever song is.
Little Garth Brooks special.
Nice.
Fearless leader, Chase McCabe, coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on the women's championship game last night. South Carolina takes down UConn. Aaliyah Boston and company get it done. They win the national title. As you pointed out earlier in the show, South Carolina, basically the best team in the country for most of this season. I was interested to see if Paige Beckers and UConn could give them a run, and they never really did in that game. South Carolina was quick off the jump and did a really good job of getting some separation in that game, and ultimately they win their second national title.
Jumped all over them. Incredible defensive team. UConn did make a few pushes. I think got it down to 6. Avina Westbrook hits that 3. And then, I mean, Destiny Henderson was unbelievable last night. What a player. Aaliyah Boston. It's just such a great team. It's the right champion. And Dawn Staley. And again, I'll say this again. I hope you're listening, John Glennon. I have never liked a University of Virginia sports team except for one. And that is the University of Virginia women's basketball team from long ago with Dawn Staley, because she was mesmerizing to watch as a player, incredible player. And I just had to root for that team because of her. I think she's a better coach than she is a player. She was actually asked that question over the weekend. I think she's one of the most important sports figures going right now. And before she's done, she's going to be in that really select group of women's college basketball coaches on that list of multiple national titles. She's got 2 now. Obviously, it's Gina Auriemma with 11, Pat Summitt with 8, and then there's a big gap. I think there's going to be those 2, and then Dawn Staley is going to be in the neighborhood by the time she's done. She's an incredible coach, and they might just repeat next year.
Hurts my feelings to see UConn lose. Really just tears me up when Gina Auriemma loses games. Although it is kind of incredible, that's the first time he's ever lost in a national title game.
Yeah, it's about time. 11-0 to 11-1. That's incredible. You know, he's 11, so he's 11. No, I guess 12. Yeah, so he's 12-10 in the Final Four, which still, I mean, a winning record in the Final Four is good, right?
But yeah,
okay, that's mortal. 12-10. He was 11-0 in the title game before last night. UConn's a great program, and it's not a bad thing for UConn to be, you know, deep in a tournament, but I don't think it's terrible that there's this little bit of a drought now for Geno's program of actually winning the thing.
It is. The parity's gotten a lot better. I mean, it used to be just a foregone conclusion for a stretch that UConn was going to win the whole thing, and it's nice to not have that feeling heading into the final. Look, the women's Final Four was great. It was really, really good this year.
It was. The tournament, too. I mean, we're getting more and more of these upsets that happened all the time in the men's tournament that didn't used to happen in the women's tournament. More talent, more good coaching. It's just getting better and better.
Our fearless leader is in here searching for some headphones that work. So now he feels Rex Road's pain. Here's Rex Road going, huh?
Why don't you buy us a few more, suit?
We welcome our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, to the program.
I even have my own headphones that don't work anymore, probably because somebody's used them and they don't work. Is there like one person around here that's like, I'm going to take an ear out of each of these? But
it's Joe. He's walking around with a screwdriver. Yeah.
Joe, how's your morning?
That's fine. You know, everything's fine. I have a donut on my car.
I have a donut like on my desk.
So. Hey, teamwork makes the dream work.
Better donuts.
Yeah, anyway, thank you for allowing me to come on and make an announcement.
Of course.
You know, and yes, I do have a lot of nicknames. I guess we're going with the suit, but I do miss the constable.
Hey, we can switch it back anytime you want.
That's a good one. No, very excited about this because this is something that we have never done as a station before, and a lot of work's gone on behind the scenes to put this together. So it is going to be on May 16th at the Hermitage Golf Course. We're going to have our first ever Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament that Cromwell Media, not just us here at the game, but our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz, 93.3 Classic Hits, 102.1 The Ville, ESPN 94.9. We're doing this as a cluster, as a company, and very excited to put it together to benefit Folds of Honor. So this is obviously a very important organization that does a lot of great work, and now we're going to all get together and have some fun, have some cool celebrities, athletes, musicians, other people from around the area. I will go ahead and announce one of those. Titan safety Kevin Byard is going to be a part of it.
Nice.
So going to be cool to have him involved and some others. You guys will be broadcasting from there, or all of our shows will be broadcasting from there. So. And we want to see Rex Road, see if he can win the longest drive competition. So that'll be good.
Oh, boy, I'm going to tell you what. As long as a backward drive, does that count too?
Sure.
It's just distance either way, man.
I mean, everybody's going to be entertained by me. So
yes,
let's,
we are.
You know, let's just be honest there. It's going to be a good time. But you can go to thegamenashville.com/golf to sign up for a team or to donate to Folds of Honor. So we have started that, opened that up today. But again, May 16th at the Hermitage Golf Course, the first annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament. Very excited to be able to do that with all of our stations here. So you'll be hearing a lot about it leading up to it, but it's going to be a good time.
You will, and you could put your team together as well if you want to come out and be a part of it as well. So go to thegamenashville.com/golf if you're interested in that, and see Rex Road out there taking some swings, Chase McCabe out there taking some swings, and Kevin Byard out there taking swings too.
And Michelle, I think you should reach out to your contacts at Kentucky and see if Kyle wants to.
Yeah, see if he wants to be a part of it.
Should I?
You should.
Okay, he just bought a house in Nashville.
Well, he gets a lot of practice in golf when he's eliminated from the tournament every year. And just
the worst
out there and
they
start
can
swinging.
Say is no.
So see, he was gonna say yes till Robbie took that shot at him.
Well, I'm not the one asking. Michelle is.
Listen, I'm gonna get out there. Yeah, I'm a pretty good golfer.
Okay, I'm here for it.
Okay. Calling your shot.
We can have the shows play against each other.
That'd be something.
Yeah. No, I don't need to be.
I want to be in Chase's foursome.
No, you don't.
I'm with Robbie. Ginger domination.
Hey. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Of course. Enjoy the rest of this. Hey, Chase, we appreciate you stopping by.
I was going to say, give a quick word on Folds of Honor, though. It's a great organization for people who don't know what they do.
Yeah, it is. And you know, as you guys know, like, I'm big into racing, and so they do a lot of, you know, a lot of work with racing as well. But you know, it's a great organization with the military, and fallen and disabled service members is who they honor, because, you know, you fold the American flag. I still have the one from my grandfather, which is, you know, very near and dear to me. And so it's a great organization that we're going to be paired with and can help, because you know, our owner is very big into helping the military, and you know, I'm big into that. A lot of us are, because we all, you know, find connection to the military somehow. So fallen and disabled service members, that's what they do, and very excited to be a part of that and to be able to help them.
Very nice. As Jay said, May 16th, the date at Hermitage Golf Course. For more information, go to thegamenashville.com/golf. Chaser, appreciate you, my man. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Joe, that's going to about do it for us today here on the program. Final thoughts on the national title game tonight as North Carolina takes on Kansas.
Kansas will probably win. Hopefully North Carolina wins. North Carolina is the good guy. Very rare opportunity for North Carolina. By the way, we didn't talk at all about WrestleMania, and Chase was just on the mic.
I know. We had a chance.
What a missed. You know what? I bet you in this next 4 hours there's going to be a little WrestleMania talk, huh?
July 18th. Check it out here. Robbie and Rex Road. WrestleMania. We'll talk all about it. That does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.